This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our friend Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Bruce. How are you, bud?
Good morning, guys. And, you know, the great story about the Pope being from Chicago. And, I figured out that, you know, he would have been 15 in 1970 when the White Sox lost 106 games that year. So I know him and his friends were probably buying the seats way up in the grandstands and sneaking down like we all did.
Who knows?
Back in those days. Yeah.
That might have sent him deep in prayer.
It could have. And they soon got better because they got Dick Allen. But those are stories for another day.
Well, the story today, Bruce, big in baseball and Chicago, Cade Horton will be, or at least he's scheduled to make his debut tomorrow night for the Cubs. There's been some speculation and conversation. We talked about how he will be used. Will he start? Will he come in after an opener? What do you expect? What do you know?
Well, I do not know if they expect to use an opener. You know, they've used Flex in the last two games for short stints. So is Chris Flexen going to be part of the equation at the front end or behind, you know, him when he pitches? But I think a lot will depend on, you know, what occurs tonight. So, you know, Friday night, we know about Craig Counsell. He doesn't get ahead of himself very much. So the reality of winning tonight's game is going to be number one. If he needs Flex in there, he'll probably use him. But again, you know, as I told you guys a couple of days ago, they're either thinking this kid's ready to pitch or he's not. If he's ready to pitch, you want to get the five or six innings in, start him off right away. Don't make him sit around and watch the environment. You're looking for a soft landing, you know, first three hitters or something like that. That's totally alien to why I think you're bringing him up. You know, you throw him in there, he's ready to pitch, and let's go.
Yeah, it seems as if it's like important to them to win games, and that's what this is all about. If you're bringing this kid up, you're saying he's ready to go and he's ready to win. And that's the only reason you do it. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, and I'm expecting some good things.
I don't see why not. I mean, it's always that Chicago baseball nervousness, right? That, you know, the Paul Skeens of the other worlds are always better than what we have for the Chicago teams, right? There's no way we can have another Kerry Wood or Mark Pryor or a Jack McDowell coming through. Those things happen. And everything that I heard about this kid before he got hurt 2 years ago was every scout in baseball thought he was going to be a number one with the Cubs within a couple of years. Here we are maybe a little bit later because of injury, but no doubt the stuff is there. So it's going to be fun to watch.
So, Bruce, in that context, then, what does this remind you of in terms of significance? Is it just as what I think is bigger than Jordan Wicks when he made his debut? Probably not as big as maybe Mark Pryor when he made his. Somewhere in between. And do you think that because he's here now, that he is here to stay the remainder of the season?
You know, I wish I could answer that last part for you, but I can't. It's going to with Craig Counsell and this group, it's going to be depend upon whether he's successful or not. They're not going to keep him here for an extended period of time if he's throwing two or three innings, throwing 65 pitches, and out of the game. That doesn't go with the equation. But at the same time, just like they did last year with Pete Crow Armstrong, with Bush, with Amaya, with Morrell, you know, we talked about it ad nauseum, but the reality is you have to give young players time to be able to assimilate to the major leagues. With a pitcher, you know, it's a much different dynamic because he has to be good right away, or else you're really not accomplishing much for the kid or him. It's not spring training, it's the regular season. The Cubs are expected to win every game. They were expecting to win their division. So this is a different dynamic. So there's two things here though that you have to concentrate on. One, he's a young pitcher. He's pitched very well briefly at the beginning of this year after coming back from injury last year and throwing 34 pitches. That's one part of the equation. The other is you're down two starting pitchers. That is why he's here, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd be here if you didn't have the injuries to Steele and Imanaga. So those are things to think about here. They're not just going to say, hey, you have to throw six good innings. That's the way it is. Baseball doesn't work that way. But it's good to see a young, dominant pitcher come up from the Cubs minor leagues, and we haven't seen it for a long time.
What do you expect from Jameson Taillon tonight? It seems like he's sort of the, you know, veteran presence. He's the guy. He's had a great year, but it seems like his ability to stabilize things is more important than ever.
Six innings, 2 to 3 runs, throw strikes, right? That, you know, not strike out a lot of guys, not walk anybody. That's a typical Taillon start. That's who he is at this part of his career. He's not the Taillon that came into the league, you know, 8 or 9 years ago and was throwing 98 and striking people out. He's still an excellent version of himself and a very good pitcher. So that's what you look for. And, you know, you're facing one of the better teams in the National League without question in their home park. It should be fun. Should be a fun weekend. And I think it's really important for the Cubs to start playing just a little bit better baseball. They have just kind of been a 500 team as of late. And again, playing good baseball teams. The National League West is no joke, right? We learned that as the Cubs played through it. They played even with most of them throughout the beginning of the year. But again, I don't think just because you're going to face Miami and the White Sox that, you know, they're necessarily going to be automatic wins. You have to start playing a little bit better baseball.
Is the plan at third base a straight platoon? And if that's the case, Clay Holmes on the mound tonight for the Mets means, or would mean, if it is, Nicky Lopez plays third, which probably makes you feel a little bit better about the defense.
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, the defense is important. And, you know, we've seen mistakes by Birdie and Brujan. They're thinking probably not really an answer as a third baseman. So I think it's more Birdie and Lopez. You know, Nicky is a really good veteran baseball player. He's gonna bring a professional, you know, at bat, even though it's not gonna be totally impactful. He's not afraid to get a bunt down, steal a base, do some of the things that you have to do when you're a professional player. So they're not expecting a total big amount of offense from him. Birdie's a little bit better offensive player. I think Nicky's defense is better at third so far. That's what we've seen. You just have to have some competency over there. You don't have to have anything electric. You get the electric from center field, right field, you know, hopefully shortstop now with the hot Dansby Swanson over there. So a lot of good things going on for the Cubs, and they just have to rediscover a little bit of, you know, the small ball part of their game, and that has to, you have to win some games 2-1. You can't just mash every night and score 6 to 8 runs every single evening.
There was a lot of different things that were said about the closer position with Ryan Pressly struggling recently. And one of the things I thought was interesting was Tommy Hotovy talking about he needs more. He needs more. He's got to pitch more. Does that change his role this weekend, Bruce? Does he need
I would
to?
Hope so.
Yes.
I would. Yeah, yes. I would definitely hope so.
Right.
Again, failure is not something that they look for from their team, from their guys. They're looking for success. So the first thing is, how do we get him to be better? You know, how do the bullpens, and how do we, you know, talk to him and physically train him to get a little bit better? And two, winning that ball game. He doesn't give them their best chance at the end right now to win a ball game. So you give them, this weekend to be in the middle of the bullpen. If it's 6th, 7th inning, 8th inning, you know, so what? Go in there and get a couple clean innings. And, you know, then you turn to, you know, a couple of the young guys in the bullpen and go, hey, you know, it's your turn. It's basically been a co-closer with Porter Hodge anyways. He's done a really good job. You know, I think we remember him giving up a long ball with a lot of people on base a week or so ago. But mostly he's done a terrific job going back to August of last year. So let him handle it. Palencia is still building his way up there, throwing strikes again. Last 5 outings, no walks, 3 hits, you know, 6 strikeouts. So there's some good arms to turn to there. But over the weekend here, I just my gut tells me that they're not going to be using Pressly at the end in the 9th inning.
Got to ask about the White Sox, Bruce, only because it seems like such an obvious thing. You got the Marlins in town, you've got a home series, and you have an offense that can't manufacture runs. Is Tim Elko likely, or what are the chances he makes his major league debut this weekend at Wrigley Field?
You know, I can't tell you that other than, you know, you can put the why not in there, right? Why not bring him up? We know in their mind, he's a home run hitter, but basically just that. If he can give a little bit of juice to the offense, certainly they need it. You know, the one glaring stat that I went back and investigated was after the same amount of games last year, the record is the same, right? It's 10 and 28. And their batting average is 3 points different. It was 218. It's 221. The OPS is 2 points different, 616 to 618 from a year ago. So, you know, the offense is still the problem. The pitching is better. You have to find some way to start scoring some runs. I mean, you know, you didn't need me to come on and tell you that. But the reality is if it's Elko, why not hesitate? You know, why hesitate, rather? Just bring him up.
I'm just curious if playing against the Mets means anything to PCA. Is there any – I mean, you know, whenever you're traded from one team to another, there's always talk of a revenge factor. It seems like he's living his best life. Does this juice him up in any way?
How could you be more juiced up in a good way than PCA is, right? I mean, the guy brings so much energy. Even in the loss the other day, he saved a run with a terrific throw to home plate, right? Every day, he either saves runs or creates runs, and a lot of days, both. So I don't think you get any more energy out of this kid. I don't think he needs that as a chip on his shoulder. He was a young kid, just drafted a year before, was injured at the time when he was traded, so he wasn't even playing at that moment. He's a Cub, and that's how he's always going to be remembered. Whatever numbers and years he plays, you know, it's going to be, you know, he was a Cub. He was also brought up in the Cub organization. This is a this is something that, you know, Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins can feel really good about, the maturation and bringing him up to the major leagues. So he's a Cub for forever. That it'll be a footnote talking about him being, you know, the one that got away. Will he be the Lou Brock of the Mets, you know, after the trade for Baez? We'll see. It's not looking good for the Mets on that deal.
So, Bruce, I know we'll talk about this on Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow, 9 to 11, where we talk baseball 50 Saturdays a year.
At least.
So what would be to you the ideal stat line for Cade Horton, and how many pitches do you think he has or the Cubs are going to let him throw?
I think 5 innings, 75 pitches, maybe 70 pitches, gives up a run or two, doesn't walk people. So 5 strikeouts, let's give him 2 walks, okay? And holds him to a run or two. That would be ideal. And that's what he's been doing in the minor leagues. Is he expected to dominate when he comes up? I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is if he throws strikes, he's going to accomplish a lot of things up here for the Cubs.
We've talked a little bit about the idea that the Cubs probably need another starter moving forward. I'm just wondering, when you think of Matthew Boyd starting on Sunday, Matthew Boyd has pitched great, and I don't want to suggest anything otherwise. I'm just wondering, is he another guy that we kind of sneaky don't talk about needs to be monitored in terms of innings eventually? Obviously nothing you're worrying about now, but when we start talking about October baseball, another guy you kind of include in the mix of how many starts can he go, how long can he go, been injured a couple of years. Is there concern over that? Is that another reason you might want to make a trade?
I don't
at
think
some
so.
Point? Okay.
No, I mean, it's a good question because, you know, he's coming back from Tommy John. He didn't pitch a full year last year, yep, but he was dynamite in the playoffs last year, and, you know, for the Guardians. And the idea that they gave him $29 million for the next 2 years, including this year, I think they feel they're going to get a full year out of him. Is it 150 innings? Is it 170? I don't know, but I think that's the intent.
So, Bruce, before I let you go, is there any reason to be on Rafael Devers' watch in Boston?
Yeah.
He's a guy that obviously is not happy. He plays third base, but I don't know that you can connect those dots unless you tell me different.
So you're talking about a trade for Vaughn to the Red Sox?
No, I mean,
they're going to need a first baseman there because he's not going to play the position. He told the president, you know, Breslow, the president of baseball operations, he's not playing the position.
Right.
You already asked me to move one position this spring when you brought in Bregman, and you asked me to be the DH. I'm not changing another position in mid-year or the quarter point. I'm just not doing it. So he sounds like, you know, to some people, a bad teammate. To him, it's like, hey, that's it. You know, stop moving me everywhere. You have a problem, go get another player to play first. And the Red Sox have to do that. You know, there have been those fake rumors out there about Rizzo, you know, having signed there. And there's reason to think guys like Vaughn will be looked at by a team like
Boston. I'm not talking about Andrew Vaughn. Nobody wants Andrew Vaughn. I'm talking about a guy who wants to play third base in a team that might need a third baseman.
Why are you obsessed with Andrew
they're
Vaughn?
They're asking him to play first, David. That's where they're asking him to play, and he's saying no. You've moved me off a third. I'm a DH. That's who I'm staying. Does it sound selfish? Yeah.
The Cubs would not call the Red Sox about Rafael Devers, would they?
I don't know. He hits pretty well, doesn't he? He's pretty good. Pretty good.
Tell me, Bruce. I'm asking you. Do you think the Cubs would have any interest in him because of his contract, which is not really something that you would want to trade for?
That's not happening.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, Red Sox need him bad.
How many more shutouts before they bring up Tim Elko?
I think you guys should send a limo out to O'Hare and just wait, have it waiting there to pick him up.
Can't afford it.
I mean, I agree with you guys on the, you know, the fan part as well as the practical part of, You need somebody to drive in a run. You need someone to hit a home run. You know, you need someone to excite the fans of the White Sox a little bit so that, you know, they have reason to watch this team. And you know, again, the offense couldn't be any more boring. And each guy's trying hard. They work hard every day. Some of them are just not, you know, able to compete at this level right now.
Great stuff, Bruce. Talk to you, buddy. In the morning.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. Win your way to see our show, the Mullenhaus Show, live next Friday at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Bruce will be here, too. A lot of special guests. I think Coom is coming. Chuck Garfine is expected.
Oh,
we're talking
fantastic.
Cubs and Sox. And also, we're popping popcorn passionately. Yes, we are going to pop popcorn. All of the food provided by Nuts on Clark.
Passionate popcorn popping.
Yes, that's what we do. 312-540-0670.
All right. It's Mully and Hall. We'll be right back on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Assessment of Luther?
Luther? Stud. Yeah, I mean, you saw the highlights, right? I mean, he's a playmaker waiting to happen. I mean, went to the same high school, I believe, as Jameson Williams. J-Mo texted me right after we took him, and he said, you got a dog just like me, you know? And so Luther has that same confidence. He's got that same swagger to him. For 6 foot, 200 plus pounds, it's rare to see somebody with his movement skills. He can stop on a dime and accelerate just like that. Give him a little bit of space and he can make big things happen. And so a dangerous player, weapon, call him what you want, but I see big things in his future.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, that is Ben Johnson, the new Bears head coach, and he is talking about Luther Burden III, stud.
Was that the new Bears head coach, or was that Ben from Lake Forest? That sounded like a fan watching a highlight reel of a player
tape.
He's excited about.
You've seen the tape. Have you seen
those highlights? You saw his highlights, right?
Luther Burden, good stud. Old number 87.
Yeah.
They gave him Tom Waddle's number.
I know.
Yeah.
Tom Waddle wore it well.
He did wear it well.
I'm surprised. 87 is not the kind of jersey or vibe I'm getting from a Luther Burden III.
What number would you prefer?
Probably maybe something in the teens.
Really?
Yeah, he's more of a teens guy. I don't like 87.
Decent number for a tight end.
He's not a tight end.
Or a wide receiver.
See? Think tight end. You see 83.
I was getting ready to come at you
three.
With 84.
Since he's Luther Burden III.
Why not?
That's good.
I like it.
Now you're really talking.
But three, might be retired.
I was thinking tight end because Colston Loveland is number 84.
It's a good number. It's a good number for tight end. It's a good,
84.
Solid, targeted number. 87, not doing much for me.
Who do you think of 84?
84? And the Bears?
I mean, just
Brian Bashnagel.
Yeah, he was.
That was way back in the day.
Uniform police 100 years
ago. Yes, Brian Bashnagel. Who do you think of?
I guess I mean that's one. What was Moose Muhammad? Was he 84? No, he was
87.
87. That's,
yeah, I believe he was 87. That's why I was
and then I think Emory Moorhead.
Yeah. Oh,
Emory Moorhead. That's
87.
Yes.
87 in the 85 Bears.
Yep. Ozzie Trapillo, number 75.
Kyle Long. See, that's a tough one to live up to.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Cordell Patterson is what I think of. Sorry.
Oh, that's good.
With 84?
Yeah, he was 84.
He was here for 5 minutes.
So?
I guess that's a good one. That, I
can't. Bobby Wade?
Bobby Wade.
That's a good reach.
That's a reach.
I tell you what, I saw Google Bobby machine. Wade. I saw Bobby Wade one time. He used to do this trick. He used to do all the time. He would start catching balls out of the jugs machine, and then he would just walk up on the thing until he was like standing to the side of it and pulling balls out as they shot out of the jugs. You'd never see anything like it.
Bobby Wade, for those who don't remember his
great baseball
career.
Player.
No, yeah, he was.
Back in the day.
But he was a wide receiver for the Bears in the early.
Yeah, he was good.
But 2003 to 2006-ish.
He was a good player.
Dustin's favorite also had 84. Mercedes Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Dustin obsessed with him.
Oh, that's interesting, though. That means he's not coming
84
back.
84 penalty yards versus zero receiving yards.
Here's an easy one. Shamar Turner is 95.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably should be retired.
Yeah, probably, or not giving out
two
second-round draft picks.
Okay.
Do you think the Pope can do the lyrics of the Super Bowl shuffle?
He may.
The sack man's coming. I'm your man, Dent. If a quarterback's slow, he's going to get bent.
Ruben Hippolyte.
I love that.
Good old number 47.
47? I thought it'd be 44. Who's got 44?
Chris Conti was
47.
That's a good pull.
Free safety. He played safety.
Yeah. That's
good. Are you
44,
saying
I think Brian Bosworth?
Are you saying Hippolyte will play safety at 47?
That was one of the texters.
Bigsy laughed that one off.
Oh, that was fun.
Was that a caller?
Was it a call? Za Frazier was issued number 20.
Zay Frazier is going to look even taller in 20. It's going to be a real slender.
James Allen was 20 back in the day, 100 years ago.
That's a long time ago, man.
That's a big pull.
Nobody since then? Who else? Brandon, no, who's been number 20 been since 20s. Then? I don't know.
Duke Shelley.
Wasn't Mike Brown 20?
No.
Travis Homer. He was 20.
Well, Travis Homer's still on the here. Team.
That's what I'm looking on here.
Oh, wow. Hold on.
I think there was a disclaimer on that release that these aren't going to be the final jersey numbers.
30. He was 30.
Mike Brown was 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, good old 30.
I knew I was close.
Mm-hmm. How about Luke Newman as good old number 65? Was that Dan Jiggetts?
That was Pat Manley.
Oh, it was Pat Manley forever, but I'm just wondering
who else
was.
Jiggetts was 62.
Was it Noah Jackson?
Noah Jackson.
Yeah.
In 62 was Mark Bortz. Let's get that right.
Yeah, well, Coleman Shelton had that number. Cody Whitehair.
Really, Pat Manley had that number for 20-something years, right?
Cody Whitehair was 65. That's right.
And Kyle Monaga was issued number 25.
Kyle Monungai, 25. Good one.
Monungai.
That's a good one.
Brad Muster.
25 was Brad Muster. That's going way back.
I was right, huh? The last running back to wear a neck roll, too. Love a running back with a neck roll, Brad Muster.
Garrett Wolf. There you go.
See, Garrett Wolf, that's who he'll remind you of because he was a smallish running back. Garrett Wolf was a fourth-round draft pick, I think, NIU.
Mark Carrier would have to be number 20, right?
Mark Carrier was number 20.
Yeah.
He wore it well.
I don't know. Kadeem Carey. What about him?
Ooh,
didn't even remember him.
No.
Mark Carrier had 10 interceptions as a rookie. What a year. And he didn't even proclaim that he was going to intercept 10 passes.
I'll take Thomas Jones.
Thomas Jones at number 20, that's as good of a number 20 as probably ever been in a Bears uniform.
Great player,
great guy, good actor.
Yeah.
Excellent actor. No doubt about that.
I like that.
I like fun with numbers. I don't like 87 for Luther Burden III. Maybe he'll rethink it. Is number three? Who are great number threes in Bears history, Brandon? Because that's a really good.
Let's see,
link.
Eddie Allen.
Nah.
Rick Meyer. Burt Johnson.
No,
not too many threes.
I thought he said good
Rick Meyer was 13, actually. He was 13 with the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, if you're Lutheran.
No one's wore number three since like 1940.
Really?
On here. That's what I'm looking at. No one has number three that
retired?
I put on here for the Bears.
It had to be retired then for some reason.
Well, I mean, who knows?
Otherwise, why would you?
Why would you not
Luther
that
Burden
number?
The third, three?
Oh, I got it the first time. Thank you for
yes,
the,
it is retired.
See?
Oh, okay.
I was for who?
It's not showing. Hold on, I'm looking right now.
Okay.
We should know this. It's gonna. We're gonna.
Yeah, we really should know this.
Yeah, we should know.
Bronco Nagurski.
Yeah, Bronco Nagurski.
Is it really?
Yeah,
wow.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Sense. Yeah.
Sounded familiar.
Okay. That's
so I guess Luther Burden III has to go fourth without a new number.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Four is not retired.
See? That's
five
PCA.
Is. Seven is. All the odd numbers.
I'd rather have four than 87. I like number four. I was number four.
Bears have more retired jerseys, right, than anybody? Or
yes.
Is that more Hall of Famers than
no,
anybody?
No, more retired jerseys.
Yeah, they have a lot. They've had to stop retiring them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to start going triple digits.
We had this question on the Big Pro Football Show. If you had to pick one jersey, buy one jersey that you knew was going to be a good investment moving forward, what would it be?
You're
Bears guy. Yeah, one Bears.
Current Bears
yeah, current
player?
Bears. Current Bears player. Say you're buying a gift for somebody, and you want to get him a Bears jersey, and you don't want to have to go back. You know, it's going to be valid in more than a couple of years.
Like, run it by me again. Is the idea that they're a young player that's getting better, or a number that will last for a long time?
You want something in your wardrobe for a long time, typically. So, what Bears jersey is this best investment? It's easy. What are you thinking about? It's got to be 18.
Then what's question. Next after Caleb? Then we'll
see.
The
that's
one.
The better question.
That's the better one. Yeah, we know it's the quarterback. After Caleb, who?
I wasn't thinking of the quarterback. I wanted to think about a player. It's going to be a Hall of Fame track player currently on the Bears, and I don't
and
know.
You don't put him in that category.
Who?
Caleb Williams.
I don't know if he will be or not, but I mean that seems like a. I don't know. It seems like there should be a player, an obvious like whether it's. Jalen Johnson, who's their best player,
he'd change his
arguably.
Numbers, though. That'd be a value yes. for him. He'd yeah. probably want to change to zero in a couple of years. You could see him doing
but,
that.
But I'm
you can't have
like,
seven, so for seven INTs, can't have that.
That's right.
Who would be their best young player is the question, right?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a fair question. You can't come up with an answer, can you?
No, I'm
you're stumped.
I'm not stumped. I'm just wondering
you're
how
befuddled.
I, do I feel... Like, I mean, obviously everybody knows the quarterback. I wouldn't go with that. I'm saying, do I feel like there is a player that is going to be better than maybe Loveland, right? I mean, I think he might be the answer because he looks like he's going to be here for a while. You just don't know about injury with tight ends, stuff like that. But I don't know that I feel like there is – an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman,
DJ
maybe
Moore.
At one point.
Mm, probably
DJ
not.
Moore, you know, it's definitely.
He may not be here too long.
Can I say that it's
Burden?
I don't think it's Rome Odunze because I think he, you know, there were a lot of different reasons, but he didn't. He had a good year, but he didn't have that kind
of
year.
A lot of reasons
you
for that,
think,
though. Who are you projecting to have a better NFL career right now? Colson Loveland or Rome Odunze?
That's a good question.
I know. That's why I asked it.
I would, and I'm gonna answer it
tomorrow. Monday.
I told you
September.
Might take Loveland over Rome right now.
Right now, you would take Colson Loveland over Rome Odunze.
I do.
I would too. I would too.
Wait a minute. Ba ba ba. Let's have a dramatic.
I just wanted to see if you agreed.
Of course I do.
You know, the texter comes up with the obvious answer. Torrey Taylor.
Yeah,
he's the one most likely to be here a decade.
Well, the problem is he got here older. Isn't he like 36 now?
No, he's not 36.
He will be.
The Bears player most likely to be here in 2035 is Torrey Taylor.
Yeah. Probably.
Probably.
Because punters don't get hurt.
That's the answer to everything, PCA. I wonder if they'll be chanting PCA at Citi Field tonight.
I think that's got to be running rampant on WFAU today, PCA's return.
Yeah. Do you think they are annoyed that he's as good as he is?
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
Wouldn't you be?
Doesn't take much. Yeah. They got 2 months of Javi Baez for PCA.
Boy. Javi, comeback player of the year?
It's early, but let's keep that.
I'm just saying.
Keep an eye on that. I love that movement.
If you think about it, he has moved to center field.
Yeah.
And it seems to have reborn him
as
a
player.
You see
the way he caught that over the shoulder catch? Oh, my gosh.
But he looked like maybe as bad a former Cub as you were going to find in baseball.
Except for Chris Bryant, because you can't find him.
He looked as bad as Chris Bryant.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, and I'll tell you something else. If his contract wasn't as long as it was, they'd have cut him. I don't think they would have stuck with him.
You're exactly right. I love the Javi comeback story.
I do too.
It's terrific.
I love that guy as a player.
He's always my favorite Cubs player. And when he look, the Tigers are good. They're getting people to Comerica Park. Yeah. And I don't care what anybody says. There is a connection, I think, between crowd involvement, buzz, electricity, and Javi Baez production level.
He seems interested in playing center field. I don't think he was interested in playing shortstop. I think he just kind of lost interest. But now that he's doing something he hasn't done before, he seems juiced up and he seems like he's playing.
They also did a great breakdown. I think it was Mark DeRosa on MLB Network the other day of his swing change and how his mechanics are better.
Cool.
And he's locked in a little bit more. So I hope that continues.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, we're going to give everybody a chance now to see the Cubs and the Marlins.
Here we go.
Next Wednesday night, May 14th. You're going to have to walk away from the schedule release for the Bears and go to Wrigley Field, but it's worth it because the Cubs will be on a winning streak maybe by then. 312-540-0670. Be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line. 312-540-0670. Provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. Get two tickets now.
Guy just ruined my weekend, Mr. David. He said, how dare you diss Rome on this holiest of days? It's right.
That's a great line.
All right. We've got Layla and Mark Grody. Grody time next. Mully and Hall on the Score.